Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm so glad you're here today because we have an incredible guest with us, Jen. Jen enjoys the outdoors, traveling, cuisines, coaching, faith, fitness, family, friends, flexibility, freedom, fun, and coaching people to finally be free and design their lifestyle their way on their terms. She believes life is too short to be spent sitting around waiting for things to happen. That's why she's always up and about, exploring new places, meeting new people, because there's nothing quite like the rush of adrenaline you get when you're pushing your limits and testing yourself in exciting new ways. Thank you so much, Jen, for being here today. It's such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Thank you so much, Dr. Caroline, for having me. It has been an exciting time to come here and share my story, my journey, with your audience. So I appreciate you doing that. So my story or my journey started from the beginning of actually wanting to have something that impacts the lives of people. That's really how it all started. Wanted to impact people in a way that I didn't know how, but sort of came to a place where I realized that my story is the platform that I can use for helping others, motivating and inspiring others to what their dreams and aspirations are. So I started off very simple by volunteering at a national and then local women's center, helping women to bridge the economic gap and find wealth and leisure and alignment with their lives. And that's just started the whole thing, really, during COVID when I volunteered for over 25 years and never really thought about having a business. In fact, when someone asked me about my business or starting a business, I foo-fooed it and said, oh, that's not for me. That's not my thing. I sort of foo-fooed it for years. Mm-hmm. When I looked under the hood, I realized that I was afraid of starting something and really starting something and failing. And so I had limiting beliefs, a lot of limiting beliefs, a lot of imposter syndrome. A lot of things were running in the background, underneath the hood, I would say. And what led to my starting was, well, as I was volunteering and helping women to set a real nice, simple roadmap in 30 minutes, I had to get to share with them what that looks like for them and then close with an action step. Every single time I hung up, they were like, well, how can I work with you privately? And I just brushed it off for a long time because, again, the subconscious drivers were fear and fear of failure. So I pushed it off and I kept hearing it as a theme and a pattern. And I kept saying, what if I do that? I do have skills. I do have expertise. I do have experience. I have a story. What if I do that? And so I started to take baby tiny steps to design or explore, not really design, but explore what that would look like. Really, really tiny baby steps towards that. That's how my journey started.
Oh, I love it. And you know, it's so interesting because you kept brushing it off, but it kept like coming back to you. And I know you talk about faith too. It's just, I feel like the energy in the universe and God and everything else that people believe in, but for you in particular of kind of pushing it away and it just kept popping up. And also, especially when people are asking to work with you privately, you're like, well, no, I don't have a business. But now you have been building your business. And I'm curious, what inspired you to become a lifestyle coach? Because there's a lot of different types of coaching, but in helping others design their lifestyle on their terms.
First, I started off with a financial coach. I got certified in many modalities within the financial realm, not a planner, but a coach. Yeah. So a coach simply guides people along the path, giving them tools and tips and tricks and techniques to then meet with a planner. And a lot of times people came to me because they were in debt and they were stuck and they didn't know how to get through that. And so because I did it in my own life, I realized, listen, I can repackage this and do it themselves. So I realized that people needed not just a coach, but a strategist. And so I am a coach and a strategist because you need a strategy for life and finances. When I was coaching people in the financial realm, I realized life was getting in the way. And I said, wait a minute, I can't just coach on finance. I have to coach on life because my model is really integrative. And so it's not just finance, not just career, not just this, not just that, but everything. And so lifestyle became the impetus for me being a lifestyle designer. I call myself an architect because I help people to sort of reverse engineer their lives as it relates to financial freedom and building financial wealth. It's one thing to have freedom, but it's another thing to have wealth and leave legacy. So I married the three of them together, and together I came up with lifestyle design.
I love it. And you're right. So many times that life does get in the way, and it could be we're like, oh, well, the finances, oh, it's this, but it's really bridging everything together and merging it together, marry it together, essentially. But being able to understand too, we want to do all these things, but we also have to take care of ourselves first and foremost, so we can do all of those things. And I love that's what you your focal point is. And I'm curious, because I know you have a lot of passions for outdoors, traveling, cuisines. How do you incorporate that into your coaching practice?
Well, the reason why I have a lifestyle design business, because it refers to the conscious effort of me intentionally creating and designing my lifestyle around my business, not the opposite way around.
Right.
So I do also work full time. And so my business model aligns with my values, my goals, and my aspirations first. Yeah. Not my business. So I break free from conventional models and societal norms of I got to hustle and grind. Instead, I create a life by choosing and leveraging all kinds of stuff. And the biggest one is faith, family, and freedom and fulfillment for me. And so my business, it looks very different from others. And it's intentional that way because I designed it the way that I wanted to. And so it's more of a free-flowing way that I do business that is completely different from the traditional business model. And I love it because it helps me to have fun, freedom, family, friends, flexibility, and all the and faith and things that really move the needle in for me. That's my highest values.
I love that. And I do think it's just so true to you and your character of what is important to you, but also realizing that business doesn't have to be one way. There's so many different ways. And that's something I really love highlighting. But I think for you too, I would love for you to explain to what it's been looking like for you working full-time while building your business, because there's a lot of people that might be starting out and they're like, well, I have to jump right in, or they don't know how to really go about that. What has that looked like for you?
So for my brain, that is completely, designed differently, which I love. It's more of a creative part of me. Like a part of me is very creative. And at the same time, a part of me is very analytical. So for me, my business looks like first, I put my big rocks into my life, which is my faith, my family, my friends, my fun, my freedom, my flexibility. So those get put in first. And anything else gets put in after. And it is obviously calculated based on priority, right? So anything after, I call it anything goes below the line of value. So after I put those big rocks in, it comes with self-care. I mean, self-care for me is not just spas and nails getting done. It is for me resting, relaxing, reviving, and renewing so that I have more energy to then do the rest of the items I need to do. So that middle place, of course, self-care is at the big rocks, but that middle place of processing is where I budget in my energy, which is what we need, which I have a lifestyle calculator that does that for my clients, budget in my energy so that I have the maximum amount and optimal energy to then do the rest of the items, like my business, like my ministry, like my community services and volunteer. So those are important, but they're not above the line. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intentional about how I spend not my time, but my energy. Time mm-hmm. obviously is a part of it, but mm-hmm. if I expend all my energy on the things that don't matter to me, then I don't have the energy to think, to do the things that does matter to me. So I reverse engineer a lot of those things intentionally so that I begin to do that with my business and begin to make the most impact. Part of that is partnering. For me, partnering is exponential growth, optimal type of living. So for me, collaboration is key for me to not just be effective, but to impact as many people as I can. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the sort of superpower that I have.
Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Start Here Conference.
Hey there, fabulous folks. Welcome to the Start Here Conference, where the fun begins and success stories unfold.
Yep, you heard it right. We're here to kickstart your journey with a big dose of energy and a sprinkle of magic.
Picture this, a place where inspiration flows, connections bloom, and dreams take flight.
At Start Here, we're all about keeping it real and having a blast while doing it.
No stuffy suits or boring speeches here, just good vibes and endless possibilities.
So whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just dipping your toes in the water, there's something here for everyone.
From incredible breakout sessions to a dance party that'll have you jumping out your seats and showing us your best moves, this event will have it all.
And hey, did we mention the food? Delicious bites and refreshing drinks to keep you fueled up and ready to conquer the world.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your ticket, bring your sparkle. Let's make some magic happen at the Start Here Conference.
And now back to the show.
I love that you focus on collaboration because we can get our message out there to more people if we are working together and we can help each other grow in so many capacities. And I love the example you gave about the rocks because I've seen, I don't know if that's what you're talking about or what you've experienced, but the experiment, I forgot where I first saw it. I know a professor does it. That's one of the videos I saw, but they put in like your dreams or like the things that are really important or number one. And then you put in the sand and then the water and then like other things to really focus on where your time and energy is going. But I love that you focused in on the energy piece because I do think we can get a lot done in a certain amount of time, but we all have 24 hours a day. But if we're able to really focus on where our energy is going, that can be a roadmap. And that's what it sounds like for what I'm hearing too from you is it is a roadmap of where your energy is going and where you can really maximize your time because you're working full-time while building a business. And I know you've had some clients as well, but I would love to hear just one client transformational story that you could share with us that has been able to really design their lifestyle or start to do so.
Yeah. So I have this one client that, again, came as a result of my volunteering, which I tell people, when you give back, it always comes back in other ways. So I was volunteering at this women's center, and I had someone who came and she really... Again, the energy piece is helpful. My meet clients, our energies have to align. I believe in personality connection. And so we connected really well. Mm-hmm. And when she started to look for someone, she reached out to me. This was 2 years after I volunteered with her and offered her some really good support. And she retained me as her coach, financial coach, and then became her life coach. So she was in a very tough place, post-divorce, a lot of debt, a lot of limiting beliefs. She was also seeing a therapist. She and I worked together a lot. She was unemployed, was afraid of going back into the work because of fear of failure, a lot of limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And we worked together on both money and life for over 2 years. She retained me for 2 years, which is not typical for clients to retain me, but there was so much enmeshment in, and she experienced financial trauma, which formed financial coach as well. So that I had to do financial trauma coaching, financial independence, financial, all things financial, and then lifestyle. Mm. Long story short, she is now a coach. She's now a financial coach. She has since paid off thousands of dollars of debt. She has reinvented herself, or I call it rematrixed herself, where she is disconnected from old toxic individuals who were tearing her down. She found a housing of her dream. She's now saved enough money so that she doesn't have to work anymore, but she is working towards building her business. She started her own business. I mean, that is like a success story. I'm very proud of, because I didn't do the work. Mm-hmm. I simply lifted the fog, which is what coaches do. And it was all underneath there. She had so much packed down that she couldn't see it. And this was during COVID. So you can imagine there was COVID crisis as well. So there was a lot of re-triggering. And so she worked with her therapist. I worked with her. And together, she is now transformed her life in a way that she is uniquely designing it in her own space. So that was a success. I mean, I have many, but that was huge. I've never worked with someone that long, but because she trusted me, because I was authentic and vulnerable with my own story, which is what I think why people work with me, because mm-hmm. I'm not a professional up here and you're down here. We are on the journey together and we're sort of helping each other out. I just have a little bit more skill and experience than them mm-hmm. and could direct them to resources that would help them to really transform their lives.
Oh, what an incredible story. And I know you have several, but I love this one in particular that you shared, because I think there was so much work to be done underneath everything. Mm-hmm. And just, she was going through a lot, but being able to really reduce the limiting beliefs and allowing herself to really put herself out there, get out of her comfort zone, figure out what was going to be best for her, start her own business. But she was doing the work. But you're right, it's a guidance. You're guiding them step by step. And a lot of times coaches are a couple steps ahead. And that's all you need to be in order to really help someone, because you've already been there and you know how to get out of that, versus somebody who's 100 steps ahead can be really difficult to really remember what feels like to be in that state as well, sure. in different capacities. And I'm curious, how do you encourage individuals to overcome the fear of stepping out of their comfort zone and embracing new experiences?
Yeah. So a lot of times, we have some key things that we use as coaches, I think mainly to intuition, because I have a lot of my gifts are intuitive. Mm-hmm. And so intuitive, of course, my experience, my lived and personal experience. And professional experience, of course, but mainly getting curious and getting curious about their big why. I think if you don't go to the why, which is to me the anchor of where we start, if that why is not powerful enough, which you have to drill down as a coach to figure out that why, then whatever you're doing is not connected and it's not aligned. And so you find that you do a lot of activities, but the activities is just about the doing. It's not about the being. So first I start with your identity and then the big why. See, a lot of us do a lot of activities without actually becoming the person that we were meant to be. So for me, I always start with the being and not the doing. Mm. I always, so the doing is more a counselor and I have that hat too. Yeah. The being is a coach. I have that hat too, and an educator is the activities, and I have that hat too. So I constantly have to take off hats in order to coach the whole person. What I remind them is that they are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. There's nothing broken in them, even though they've had broken situations, but they are not. So I always tap into strengths because they've used strengths in other ways that they sometimes forget or pack down or ignore or minimize or rationalize or deny. So I tend to pull those strengths out, tie it into their why, and then co-design with them to create a future that they envision. And I know that they can have. See, I see the potential that they don't see, but their potential is already there.
Absolutely. And I really focus in on the fact of being versus doing. And I think that's a big key element in what we're doing every day, because we can do all the activities. We're like, yep, check the box.
That's right.
But is it fulfilling us? Is it more of the why and why we want to do this? Why we want to become this person? Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, what strategies do you employ to help clients overcome those obstacles when they have their why, but they're not really sure how to get there?
Yeah. So a lot, me too, right? I have a coach. Every coach has a coach. So I have a coach that helps me with my limiting beliefs. And so I think being authentic about where you are, struggles that you have as a professional, they didn't know that would move the needle. So a lot of people have what I call misbeliefs. Mm-hmm. Partial truths about episodes, things, or people, or themselves that they believe. And they don't know that it's a subconscious driver. It's almost like having 50 windows open in your on your computer. And I've been guilty of that. And it's running right in the now. Background. Right? And yeah. So we all have them, and we all have them. And so what I seek to do is to begin to expose misbeliefs with simply conversation, noticing what they're saying and what they're not saying, mm-hmm. patterns, themes, mm-hmm. and bringing it up to them, not telling them that they have it, but bringing it up to them and getting curious about those things that are showing up in their conversations, in their tone, in their cadence, in their body language, all these things that I've been trained to do that I see, and they themselves tell on themselves. They themselves expose what they're thinking by what they're saying or what they're not saying. Yeah. That's another piece. So exposing the misbeliefs, mm-hmm. which is their story. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's their story that they've carried into adulthood from childhood or from other places. I don't tap into the past because I'm not a therapist, mm-hmm. but I touch on it. I look back briefly and then we go forward. So I expose the misbelief, limiting beliefs, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and challenge them about truth about their situation, about themselves, about events, about their circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then we create, when we install new beliefs, mm-hmm. new beliefs just simply means this is the truth. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of metacognition or metathinking, thinking about mm-hmm. what you're thinking about. So yeah. we do a lot of mental cleanup. I call it mental flush, you know, thinking mm-hmm. about the mental flush. I mean, it's a, I like to use analogies. So let's do some mental flushing and then practicing that and building new mm-hmm. healthy habits around thinking. It is work on their part, not mine. It mm-hmm. is work on their part. If in fact, that's what they want to change. You cannot change behavior without changing the mind. Now, I do mind and body sort of integration. And I feel like you can't do one without the other, mm-hmm. right? And that's a whole nother piece. But I feel like that's important because I could think positive all I want, yeah. But it doesn't manifest itself just because I think positive, right? Mm-hmm. I have to begin to integrate those parts of me because I'm a multifaceted parts of me that really will now have symphony or integration. Or alignment, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So old beliefs, dressing the truth, and then creating new beliefs, call it three-legged stool. Mm-hmm. And so we really install new beliefs that they want to, truth of what's actual, not my perception, not my assumption, not all of those things, those sort of gray areas, yeah. right? We don't do black and white, but we really focus on a growth mindset model. And it is practice because me too. I got to do that too.
Yeah. It's always a work in progress, right? And always. I think it's so amazing that you have the different like analogies per events that are happening for them. But I love that you really focus on the last leg of creating new beliefs that they truly believe that are their truth. Because a lot of times it's like, okay, well, I say this affirmation, nothing's changed. What's happened?
That's right.
Well, you have to like believe it, but then you also have to like, there's the doing in it too. You have to like, right. but becoming at the same yes. time. And I think it's so aligned and you were so spot on about how it all does connect, but you have to be able to first believe it. It's like mm-hmm. believing before you see it a lot that's of times, right. especially when you're starting a business, when you're putting yourself out there, when you're trying to make a change in your behavior, but that starts mm-hmm. with your thoughts too, because
that's right.
you can change a behavior. It's like, it goes hand in hand in my opinion.
It does.
It's not like one only and then the other one, but I feel that's like right. it coincides.
100%. 100%. That's what I call alignment. And mm-hmm. it one can't have without the other. Sometimes it's yeah. in sync and sometimes the thought yeah. comes first and then the behavior. And sometimes based on people's issues and past events, trauma or whatever, you know, there's a lot of, it's an art and science, of course, but people are smart. They naturally know what to do.
They do. They absolutely do. And I'm curious, what advice would you give someone who wants to pursue a lifestyle they desire, but they're unsure where to actually start?
I would say start by doing, I have a self-awareness journal that I put out there. for people. But I say start with the basic, which is self-awareness or self-leadership. You cannot lead unless you lead yourself first. And that takes self-awareness. Self-awareness simply means I got to know what's going on with me first. Like, mm-hmm. It's not selfish. It's actually selfhood. That means I am focusing on myself to become my best self. My best mm-hmm. self first as a foundation, as if I'm building a house. I've seen my dad build a house and there's brick. I mean, there's concrete and there's mortar and there's steel. I mean, there's things that make it strong. So self-awareness is the key for starting to build. And that's what I believe people could start with, intentionally creating and designing self-awareness practice mm-hmm. to determine what it is that I want my life to be, my second half of my life to be. And to use the concept of lifestyle design purposefully to create it by choosing and deciding to do those things that are meaningful to me that would bring, like you mentioned, fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously adopting a mindset, you know, seeking unconventional things that people may say that you can't do. Those are all key principles of starting. Self-awareness is the foundation of getting started.
I would agree with that. I do think if you have to believe it, right? You have to understand where you're at, but also what you want, because you can say, okay, I want these things, but if you're not doing it, you're not being it, all of those factors play a part. But I think the biggest part is if you don't know what you want, how can you get there?
That's right.
And that's what I love. You really help people design together, you and your clients, to understand what do they really want, bringing that perspective, because it's asking those powerful questions that you ask your clients. Obviously, I'm not in the room, so I don't know, but being able to ask the questions to really hear what they're not saying, what they are saying, and really getting clear on that. Because when you are aware of what you want, then you can start taking the action steps to get there.
Correct.
With all the action steps you've taken in just building your business, what have been some of the obstacles you've had to face?
So many. So many. But I think the biggest one is, you know, working with others that weren't as aligned with myself or third-party vendors that I've hired. And I'm a person of principle. And I, you know, somebody say I have high standards. I don't think I do. But I feel like when you're putting things out there for people to invest in, it has to be professionally done. And so for me, I like you are very professional. You sent me everything I needed. You were very, very, very professional in your steps from the beginning to the end. I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Some people that I've hired have not been as professional. That has been a discouragement as well as a lesson. So I always look at the lessons that are within each challenge. Another challenge for me is energy, which is why I had to redesign my lifestyle to fit my energy. I was thinking about it in terms of time, but I realized it was really in terms of energy. And energy just simply means I have this much energy during the day. I'm a morning person. So that means anything that's hard and heavy, I can't do it at nighttime. I've had to reinvent myself so many times, thinking that I could, stretching myself to do it in the evening. And I'm not that. So I had to re-matrix my energy, create a tool that I used with clients to ensure that my energy is maximized and I have optimal energy for the things that matter to me most. So from the morning until like maybe 3, I am ready to go. I am like bionic woman, right? I have a lot of energy. And at night, I'm like a sloth. I mean, I just don't have that energy. And it's almost like I was a health fitness coach in the past. And I would train people on saving energy by doing weight training first, not cardio. And that's a little trick that I learned, that you conserve energy that way, because cardio takes a lot more energy than weight training. So I had to flip it in order to flip my business with the way that I use my business as I do my fitness. And so that was something that I used, and it actually is working out better for me. And so I see people at a time when I'm most optimal. I don't have sessions in the evening. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I do have sessions that are aligned with my time frame, and my energy. Yeah. And my family obviously comes first, and my faith, but mm-hmm. but that whole idea of designing my life based on my energy was something new and different. And I tied it into my mental and my physical fitness as well.
And it's tying it into what makes sense for us. And that's why I really love what you've been able to create and help clients create this for themselves too, because you're right. I'm very similar to you. Mornings, I'm like, let's go. Evenings, right. I'm like, no, I'm in bed, I'm done. But it's right. realizing where your strengths are and just finding those peak energy, because that's what you're going to show up as, and you can get more done versus trying to get something done at night when your energy levels are like at a 2 versus like 100. You know, it's that balance, figuring out what works best for you. And even with all of the things that you have done, there's been a lot of obstacles, but there's been a lot of success. And I'm really curious, what do you consider success to be?
You know, I consider success by if I've helped someone today to transform their lives. And I'm not just talking about clients. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a friend or family, particularly those people that I love and know and that are close to me. If I can help encourage them or give a word of hope, inspire them to believe in themselves more than they did the day before. To me, that's success. And some people say, well, you're a financial coach. Success should mean money. I'm like, no, after you peel back the layers, it's really relationships that actually is, for me, that equals success. Mm-hmm. So having that sort of, oh, wow. And as I write in my journal every night, I'm like, wow. I look back at my day and I was like, who did I touch? Who did I impact? Who did I bring a smile or a laugh or something? Did I impact the lives when I'm, you know, when I've passed on? What would people say of Jen and what she did? Was she so busy that she didn't have time to connect? Or did she make the time in very qualified ways to connect, whether it's by text or call or email? Or that connection for me is success. Because that's what I'll leave behind.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I just got chills. But I think it's just being able to connect, and everyone has a different definition of success. But I think it's just so true to who you are and the business you've been able to build and will continue to build as well. Because I do think we're better together, and those connections are so beautiful when we make them and we just align and the energy is flowing and all of those things. And even with just building your business, I'm curious. So somebody who's listening, maybe they're about to start their business, what are some tips that you wish you would have known when you started?
Wow. I jumped in feet first. Don't do that without a plan. Without really counting the costs. And I don't mean money. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I'm big on auditing my life first. So auditing your life first, time, energy, of course, relationships, of course, money, resources. I audit what I have now. Mm-hmm. I audit what I would need, right? Mm-hmm. And then I audit what that would look like before I start. Now, mm-hmm. There's not 100% foolproof. However, I think sitting back and really looking at, okay, how will my life change as a result of this addition to my life or subtraction? Mm-hmm. I mean, some people go in full time. I didn't do that because a part of me really likes security, but it's not security per se, but it's, I like some foundational stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, going in full-time didn't make sense to me because I knew I was building my business towards obviously 100% consultant, but I'm building it slower than the typical. So I would say, self-awareness, go back to that self-awareness and begin to audit. Some people call it journal. Some people call it mapping, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. What would change? How would my life change as a result? And in what area? Mm-hmm. What area? Do a whole life assessment, or I call a compass, in mm-hmm. every area of your life and begin to map that out. Okay, as a result of this, how would that take away time? How would that take away energy? How would that take away relationships mm-hmm. as a result of me doing this? Mm-hmm. And is it important to me? If it's not important, throw it out. If it is important, mm-hmm. keep it in. So there's this, again, that self-awareness around building your business is key for me to start. I did not do that.
It's really cool that I love the fact of what you said with the compass, because I've heard like life assessment, things along those lines, but the compass and really seeing it, because then you can have a really clear picture of, okay, this is really taking up a lot of time and energy. Is it serving me? Is it fulfilling me? That's is right. it adding to my life, or is it subtracting and like energize? It energizes me or drains me. All those That's factors right. play such a huge part. But I think there's not, I mean, I'm a very visual person. Well, I need every learning style. But when you see it, you can really identify, oh, okay, wait, I don't really need this in my life right now. Maybe this can wait a little bit longer versus this needs to. And I think especially when somebody's coming into entrepreneurship, you don't really see behind the scenes. It looks glamorous from all the like social media posts. It's like, oh, I can like be on the beach and work. Yeah, you could, but you don't know what it took to get there or how many years prior somebody has been working to build something. Mm-hmm. And that's something like it was a misconception for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't become an entrepreneur just to sit at the beach. I don't even like the beach, but but being able to understand when we're aware of where what we want and where we need to go to get it and taking those steps, it's not an overnight success. And that's why I'm so glad you're on today to really show there's so many variations of being able to build a business successfully while still working there, because a lot of people will be working full time and have a few side hustles or one side hustle until it becomes lucrative enough to be full time. Or some people just want to have two sources of income because there's stability and everything else around that. Mm-hmm. I think it's just important to really look that there is no one way that is the right way. It's what feels right for you. And that's why like lifestyle coaching, it just goes so aligned with that, because it is building a life on your terms and what your dreams are in addition to that.
Yeah.
Well, I do have I'm curious, because I know building a business, there's a lot of things behind the scenes, as I was mentioning. What are some of the tools that you've been using to build your business?
Wow. So much. So I incorporate rhythms, rituals, and routines. I feel like those help me. So the first thing that I need that is with me every single time is my full focus planner. And that is a planner that helps me to design my life in the way that my brain works. So again, the first big three is on every sheet. First, it has an annual goal piece. So you download your annual goal. So what those big things are between 7 to 10. And then you have quarterly goals that's tied into your annual goals. And then you have weekly goals that's tied into your quarterly and your annual. So it's, so again, it's reverse engineering. Mm-hmm. What do you want to achieve? Mm-hmm. And then you're creating daily habits to achieve them. And then the daily big three, and then there's quarterly review. Then there's habit goals. You know, we can't create goals without creating daily habits that ties into them, because habits, people think habit is really boring. And I used to think that way because I'm a freedom girl. But if I don't create a habit that is tied to a streak or a trigger or a cue, this is all the things that just says remind, 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 whether it's a calendar, whether it's an app, all of those things are really creating habits. So habitually just say, I just brush my teeth every day, twice a day. That's just a habit. It's autopilot. It's not set it and forget it. My brain remembers to do that. How come? Why? Because I've been doing it for so long. So I say to people, don't expect you have this business and it just evolves into this. You got to create daily habits over time using visuals. If you're like me, I need visuals to remind me to do that thing. And then over time, my brain simply remembers to do it. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, I thought I left my focus planner the other day, and I got panicky. I'm like, oh no, I don't have my focus planner. It's almost like I created that habit that reminded me to put it in the night before, just as a habit with my colored pencil, with my, you know, just turn it on the page. It just, those habits are so consistent now that it's automatic. So create those daily habits that tied into weekly habits, that tied into quarterly habits, that tied into annual. Those are sort of the steps that I take that helps me to optimize, again, my time and my energy.
Yeah.
Helps me to focus.
And I believe that because I do think habits are the foundational piece to getting anything done, because you have the goals. And if you have the habits of, okay, I need to have my everything in my purse before I leave, or just even taking your vitamins, or just having your morning coffee, or that's just right. being able to, okay, I have these clients today. And I know every Tuesday I have these clients, but like just really focusing in on what needs to get done, because those habits do become automatic, just like brushing our teeth, just like having your journal and the colored pencil in your purse and ready to go before you leave. So you don't have to think about it. It's like one less thing to worry about, because our brains are constantly going, well, at least mine is. I mean, for everybody.
Mine too. But I think also creating systems around those habits are key.
Yeah.
Right. Because without systems, I think that's one of the things that I didn't have. And now I have systems around my business. You got to have systems that work.
Mm-hmm. You do. You absolutely do. Because that's the only way it's going to continue to grow and scale. Even if you want a small business, it's that's still right. just one less thing to worry about. I know that's been a huge part of my journey too. When I didn't have systems, I was like getting gray hair. Can't see it, but
overwhelmed. Yeah. Overwhelmed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I've been so enjoying this conversation, Jen. Where can people find you, use your services? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Sure. Easy peasy, jeninspiringcoach.com. That's my website. Lots of freebies on there, free resources. Same handle on Facebook and Instagram. I have a monthly blog. I call it a blog that I send out to anyone who subscribes and downloads any of my free resources. And I typically go live with industry partners just to get caught up on the financial piece. And sometimes I do Friday funnies. So you can catch me there and follow, subscribe, like, comment, share, and most importantly, download the free stuff that's on there.
Oh, that's amazing. And make sure everyone you get that, because it is definitely informative, but it will help you in just every aspect of your life. And Jen, thank you so much for just sharing your beautiful light with us today, but also everything you're doing to really help people create a lifestyle that they absolutely love and desire on their terms. So thank you so much for today.
Thank you, Dr. Caroline. You have been an inspiration. I follow you and I listen to you, and I'm always inspired when I hear your beautiful podcast and your YouTube. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Jen today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.